Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I'm very, very pleased that you are all here with me today, wherever you're tuning in from. Good morning, good evening. It could be the middle of the night because we do stream online, which means we stream globally. We appreciate all of our loyal listeners who tune in each and every week, and all of our new listeners who tune in every week. And just met someone last night, told them about my show, and they're like, "Oh, that sounds really interesting. I got to tune into your show." So it's always wonderful to get such a positive response. So I hope you're all doing well. We have a wonderful guest in store for you today. I'm really looking forward to bringing him on. But first, of course, we have my little blog post from a couple of years ago. Just doing these in order. And this one's actually kind of funny considering something. And I'll talk about that. And so today's blog post is entitled "Learning to Suffer Well Liberates Us from Pain." We all have felt pain. It is a part of life, and pain comes from suffering. Yet we do not know how to deal with suffering. We know how to cope with pain, whether it is the pain from a toothache or the pain of a bad breakup. The grief and anguish of losing a loved one is all too familiar to us, especially lately when it seems more of the people we know are leaving this existence. Yet even though pain is a universal experience, rarely is it ever spoken about until we are in the middle of it. The after effects of the suffering that comes with physical pain or the pain of loss are well known. There are entire industries built on helping people to cope with the pain after the fact. So why don't we help people learn to deal with the pain and suffering before it arrives? Learning how to suffer well is one of the best lessons we can learn. The after effects of the four, we will all go through it again. Experiencing pain and suffering is a part of life. You can see it everywhere if you look for it. The fact is not necessarily a bad thing. That fact is not necessarily a bad thing. For when we learn how to deal with the pain and suffering before it arrives, it can help us to grow and evolve. Harshness, antagonism, and violation occur every moment of every day. When we build up our resilience and we learn how to get through the challenge without judgment or blame, then we are merely experiencing the sensation of pain. If we create all kinds of stories around how we deserve it or how we are being punished for something, then we re-experience the pain over and over again. It becomes a specter that overshadows our every move. And we keep the pain alive far longer than it is necessary. Pain and suffering are not personal, though they may feel personal. However, when we use it to help us grow and redefine who we are, it can actually serve us. For we will never be the same person as we were before. The real question is whether we are going to use the experience to uplift and empower us, ourselves, or are we just going to be a victim of our own suffering? So let us all learn how to suffer better, and it will serve us the rest of our lives. Where in your own life are you suffering right now? Can you learn to transform your suffering into something that actually serves you? A couple of years ago when I wrote this, Guess I was probably going through something a little challenging. And I always get reminded of the Buddhist idiom of, life is pain, but suffering is optional. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. And what I've learned over the years of doing my own personal work and working with others is that what really causes us to suffer is not the pain itself. It's the stories around the pain. It's the things we make up inside our mind that keep the pain alive over and over and over again that causes the suffering. Learning how to suffer well, what does that mean? Learning how to suffer well is learning how to be present with our pain without letting it take us over, without letting it define us in a way that tears us down, that defeats us, that makes us wrong or bad for something. And this is not to say that pain is not here to teach us a lesson. Absolutely. We're doing something and it causes pain. I think it's a little indication that maybe we'd want to stop doing that. But the real lesson in learning how to suffer well is to not personalize the pain, to not create stories around the pain. The pain is what it is. And I'll just use the example of the loss of a loved one, just because I know many people right now going through that where either their parents are on their way out, or friends or loved ones, or some people are facing their own mortality. But mostly when it's others, when we lose that person that we loved, it causes grief. It's a loss. And many times we don't honor that loss. And so we don't honor it. We stay attached to the fact that we've lost something, and then we just keep suffering over and over again. And I've mentioned this in the past on the show. Having been brought up in the Jewish faith, it's an interesting ritual. And the Jewish faith isn't the only one that has this kind of ritual, but a lot of indigenous cultures, a lot of ancient cultures had a very interesting way of approaching loss. And in the Jewish faith, we call it sitting Shiva. And the tradition around it is for 7 days, like you cover mirrors, you don't play music, you don't sit on a comfortable chair. It's the idea that you stay very, very present to the loss and the grief for those 7 days. And then at the end of the 7 days, you can still honor the person you lost, but you go back to normal life, you uncover the mirrors, you're able to play music, sit on comfortable chairs. And it's about giving ourselves a period of time to experience the grief from the loss, to honor that person who you lost, and then to say, okay, we lost them, they're gone. We'll remember them on the anniversary of their loss, but now it's time for us to move on with our lives. And I have so much appreciation for that ritual now, and other cultures have similar rituals, but or maybe they practice a little differently. But when we're really, really present to our pain, it doesn't have to be for super long, even 7 days, and we honor the heartbreak, the loss, the grief, the agony, what we're really feeling, and not suppress it, not squash it, not bury it, but really allow it to be present no matter how uncomfortable it is. And yes, very uncomfortable. I don't like feeling those feelings as much as the next person doesn't like feeling those feelings. But they're there. And by not ignoring them, by being present to them, we can get through the pain without continuing to suffer from it. We all have all kinds of pain. And that pain, whether it's a severe trauma, a loss of a loved one, a loss of identity in some way, like through losing a job or a career, we all experience things. Learning to be okay with feeling the pain without creating a story around it. It will really serve us in the long run. So that's my blog post for today. It's entitled Learning to Suffer Well Liberates Us from the Pain. And of course, you can always find my blog post at talkradio.nyc/blog. And of course, on my personal website, theconsciousconsultant.com. Love to hear your thoughts on it. All right. It is time for me to welcome to my show. I'm so glad he finally got him on. Speaker, advisor, and coach, J. Matthias Bennett. Matthias supports visionary founders and funders with internal clarity about who they are, why they are here, and helps bring their projects into the world through business development and strategic partnerships. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Leading with Courageous Vulnerability: Regenerative Leadership for the New Age. With a background in technology, Matthias shares the principles of leading with courageous vulnerability worldwide to everyone from major financial institutions to young entrepreneurs. Matthias speaks about what connects soldiers, mystics, and innovative entrepreneurs, as well as the power of failure, curiosity, and courage. He shares proven biological principles to boost creativity and innovation and practical ways to shift your perception to affect what truly matters most in your life and your business. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Matthias.
Thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. So, I'm really curious because you don't necessarily always find people like us who I would say have a foot in both worlds, who are very grounded in sort of the business day-to-day world and sort of have a foot in the more consciousness, spiritual related world. So I'm curious, like, how did that balance come about for you? Did you have like a very traditional, grounded background, and then discovered spirituality, or were you very spiritual and then got into entrepreneurship? Like, how did that path evolve?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, I started out in the late 90s doing web development, then actually I worked for 4 years at Yale University helping language teachers use technology to teach language. And then right about that time, 2009, I had a serious bacterial infection and ended up at one point tried to heal it myself and s was staring at some tendons on my fingers. I was able to get that patched up, then actually was guided to receive or to learn about the Akashic Records, which I know you've had some guests on. Essentially, for your listeners, it's an energetic database that of everything that's ever happened. So that was really the taking that training that for me was like the key that unlocked the lock for the next 3 years to really have like lifetimes of information being downloaded into my consciousness.
Wow. Yeah, I've had many people come on the show who, usually had some kind of challenge, some kind of thing that happened in their life that kind of sparked that investigation or sparked that connection to spirit that then kind of opened them up to something much greater. So I would love to talk to get into this a little bit more. We want to take our first break. So when we come back, I want to talk about like, okay, you got your Akashic Record reading, you're connected now to something more energetic. Like, what happened afterwards? Like, what happened when you came back? And it's like, oh, what do I do with this? Okay. All right. So we'll get into that right after this break. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back with my guest, J. Matthias Bennett, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with J. Matthias Bennett about his path of his path towards sort of a more spiritual approach to entrepreneurship, let's say. So you had this experience where you got kind of opened up to spirit. What happened next? Because sometimes when we start to talk about that to our friends and colleagues, they kind of look at us cross-eyed, like, I think Matthias went over the deep end. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's true. And, it was interesting back then, actually. My then wife and I were founding members of a church, and basically, they when I wanted to do the Akashic Records and study them, they basically kind of had an intervention. They're like, "Hey, we think you should really just get to studying the Bible." And I mean, bless their hearts, they were trying to help as best as they could. But I'd rather, like, was clear that I'd rather follow what God was calling me to do rather than not do that because I was afraid of what people were going to think. So for the next 3 years, I mean, I did some client work with the records, but then I was really asking myself, okay, well, what do I really need to be a happy human? So in the beginning of 2012, I moved to an island and slept in a tent for a year. This is off the coast of Seattle, Washington, Vashon, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest. And I received these principles of leading with courageous vulnerability.
So you slept in the tent for a year by yourself. I mean, like, not with anyone else. Were you meditating every day? What were you doing for that year?
Yeah, well, I mean, fortunately, I mean, there was other, things on the land. It wasn't only me, although I was, that was basically, where I slept every night. A lot of land, doing work exchange on the land, on the property there, and a lot of just deep inner work. Really excavating. You mentioned your blog post. I think that's really true, and like non personalizing it. And I think the ability to, for example, emote emotion, but actually like even quickly step out of that and say like, oh, yes, da 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 here, and have a functional interaction with someone, and then like go back to that. That's a it's an interesting kind of experience because it's just channeling through you. It's not necessarily about you.
And so what happened after you emerged for that year of spending it on the tent? Like, did you come out with a new direction in life? Did you come out with a new perspective on what to do or what you wanted to do?
It was quite fascinating because in the beginning of 2013, I woke up and the tent had molded out, and I realized I'd been a hypocrite because I had been talking about leading with courageous vulnerability, but I hadn't been asking for what I quote unquote truly need. And long story short, that set me off on a journey to put these principles into practice. So I ended up crowdfunding my way from the Northwest down to the Southwest. Just making it across the desert and ended up giving away last $3 on an offering plate in Encinitas, California, and ended up on the beach. So, when I look back, it was interesting. It almost seems kind of childish in a certain way, or just kind of putting these principles into practice in a very adolescent way, I guess that makes sense. But I wrote a memoir about that, which I have yet to publish. But fast forward, I mean, I ended up going to Morocco and sharing these principles, a number of people across the in various realms have found it helpful. So
So, I mean, Encinitas, California, I've been there. It's a nice place to end up on the beach. But when you take a look at the sort of like you being vulnerable and learning to ask for what you need, a lot of people in the business world look at vulnerability as being weak. Like they're afraid to be vulnerable with their teams. Because they feel like their teams are looking up to them. They're supposed to be the leader. How can somebody be truly vulnerable when you're in a position of authority and not appear, quote unquote, weak?
yeah, I think that's it's a great question, and certainly Brené Brown talks a lot about that. She's a great resource. I think for me, in a nutshell, is to be appropriately appropriately vulnerable to be able to, you know, you wouldn't necessarily share your inner thoughts or doubts with your whole team. But you want to at least be honest with them about what is going on, and to really have a level of transparency where they really understand where you're coming from. I mean, even if it's something as simple as saying, hey, you know, I'm really having a bad day right now, so my fuse is kind of short. That can go wonders go a long way in terms of just being able to have somebody around you understand, okay, I just need to give them a, you know, space right now and a little bit more consideration.
Gotcha. Okay. And so I'm curious, like, you wrote I'm assuming you finished writing it. I know it didn't come out yet. Leading with Courageous Vulnerability. What was sort of the impetus that made you say, like, I really want to put pen to paper and not just teach people about leading with vulnerability, but I want to write about it and put a book out about it?
Yeah. I mean, it actually started with the memoir. And then at one point I was clear that, you know, what really needs to happen is a nonfiction book as opposed to memoir, because, you know, who cares? Just some random story from some random guy. I think really, these principles can be for everyone. However, I think my intention especially is for those of us that are in places of privilege to be able to lean into some of these principles so that we can basically do the thing that we're, you know, that we know that we need to do, and to have courage to do that. And then by doing so, then we can be in a better space where we can lift others up who are truly vulnerable. So when I personally look at the big picture, and we can talk a little bit later about this in terms of connecting with regeneration, I see that. I mean, it's a whole. I see this as being one piece that is part of the planet-wide project to really build the Earth that we want to see.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said before, which is that you ended up going to Morocco and teaching this stuff in Morocco. How did you end up in Morocco, and what was that experience like? How did they respond to you teaching this stuff there?
Well, like many stories, it started with a girl. And it was clear that, you know, that once I had gotten there, that relationship ended soon after. But I had ended up being there for 3 years and spoke in 35 events. I think in four or five West African countries, mostly in Morocco, to universities and higher financial corporations. And I was received well. I was grateful to receive to support young entrepreneurs to work with major corporations in the context of innovation, and share that message from stage as part of that. And then also was invited to contribute to the founding of an organization that has now basically served over 50,000 young entrepreneurs up to date.
Wonderful, wonderful. Cool. Okay, let us take our break. I just realized I missed all my chat messages. And when we come back, I want to talk about regenerative leadership and why more and more people, I'm hearing this idea of regeneration in the conversations lately. Why is this so important, and why should we be paying attention to it? Okay.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Everybody, please stay tuned. We are listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is J. Matthias Bennett, author of the upcoming book, Leading with Courageous Vulnerability, Regenerative Leadership for the New Age. And we'll be right back to talk about the book in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Just a quick shout out to one of our live listeners. My good friend, Harris Gershon, says he went from living in a tent to being a beach bum. Love his lifestyle. I'm sure you get that a lot. All right. The subtitle of your upcoming book is Regenerative Leadership for the New Age. I've been hearing more and more people talking about not just sustainability, but regeneration as a concept of a way of approaching life. What is, just if you quickly define, what is regeneration for us and why do we need to be focused on it so much right now? Why is it so important?
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the challenges right now is that there, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions on what that is. Broadly speaking, you know, the idea of sustainability is basically not doing any more bad. You know, you go from an extractive economy to sustainable, you're just kind of maintaining. Whereas regeneration is really about building up nature and really supporting and working in synergy with the earth, as opposed to either being totally extractive or just kind of, you know, keeping things the way they are.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And why is this important today?
Well, I think it's important today because we really see ourselves, you know, we find ourselves in a spot where we have not respected the earth in so many different ways. And I don't, I think the whole idea of, you know, climate and at least the overall climate narrative, I have some kind of issues with that because I think that that is playing into the agenda of other people that have their own agendas rather than purely wanting what's best for people and what's best for the earth. But I think that it is important because not only with the ecological crisis, but crisis of meaning and spiritual crisis. I'm paraphrasing. There's a quote from a I'm going to paraphrase this quote, but this environmental attorney that says, you know, he spent, you know, 20 years working on different type of scientific issues, and basically that we know everything that we need to do, but science can't do that. But what we're experiencing is a crisis of cultural and spiritual meaning.
Yeah.
So I think that is where, and that is kind of an aha I had recently with this book, because I had, you know, I'd kind of gotten to a place where, because in the last 5 years, actually, I'd worked with regenerative entrepreneurs, green energy, in terms of business development and strategic partnerships, and was really, so I'm not necessarily an expert, but it's only from the past 5 years that I'm even seeing how my previous work can apply to this, you know, to this domain. And so I see that this is the opportunity that we have essentially to create the earth that we want to see in a nutshell. So I'll hand it back over to you. You know, there's a lot there.
I get it. You know, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, because I totally believe that this is what we need to do, and that we've been essentially raping the earth for so many decades, and the earth is now like any being would be, fighting back in a way and showing us that, you know, we can't keep existing the way we've been existing in this very consumerist mindset of just consume, consume, consume. You know, there's a, I always heard it as a Native American saying, that you don't own the land owns you.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're really here to be good stewards of what's around us. And not only for the sake of the planet, for our own sake, for our own future, for the future of our children's 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 children, that by being good stewards of the environment around us and the whole planet, it makes sense, because we're protecting the future in a way.
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
So how do we get this concept of regenerative leadership into a society, into this kind of matrix that's really built on a very extractive type of mindset?
Well, excuse me. I think that's the big question, right? That's the big question that a lot of smart, tuned in, very compassionate, committed individuals are attempting, or they're not just attempting, they're doing. And so, I think being able to see and a part of a little in the, also in the past 5 years, I was based on Maui and had the opportunity to work with the nation of Hawaii, mm-hmm. And really got a more experiential understanding, you know, of the land management there in Hawaii, which mm-hmm. actually is, you know, very similar to many other types of indigenous land management and permaculture. I mean, the things are very, you know, they echo. And so one of the things that really stood out to me is in Hawaiian, the word for freshwater is vai, W-A-I. The word for wealth is vai-vai. And so when you look at, for example, it's called the Ahupua'a, the traditional Hawaiian land management, from the top of the mountain all the way down to the sea, it is, which essentially is like a watershed. Basically they would organize things so that the water would flow and be distributed on the landscape in a way that could work with humans, and the way that could work for nature. And this definitely is, you know, you may have heard of the permaculture about slow it, spread it, sink it in terms of water management. So I think that that definitely relates. And also, even in terms of quote unquote climate catastrophes that you see now, down, you know, deluges and downpourings. It's I can't remember who said this, but the idea that there's no water problems, there's only water management problems. Mm. So, you know, the whole idea of in the climate narrative about carbon, 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 I think that's a little bit of a red herring. I mean, if I had to choose one thing, and again, no expert here, but if I had to choose the one thing, it would be water. And how could we purify water? How could we manage water? How could we, you know, retain that? And, you know, for example, the water coming up, evapotranspiration from the trees, mm-hmm. that essentially, you know, like purifies the microplastics. Microplastics in every, well, in a lot of other places, but the evapotranspiration that's coming out, you know, is that acts as a natural filter in that way. So I think there's a lot of and then also kind of getting into the next bit, which I think in regards to flow is quite interesting, because I had this aha between being in flow states for humans at an individual level and water, about right now we're seeing where you have the huge deluges and floods of water for the earth. And then as humans, we're being deluged by information.
Yes. Yeah.
And so how is it possible to actually be in right relationship with water? How is it possible in the context of us and the planet? How is it possible to be in context with the right relationship with attention? And if we find the answers to those questions, I think those are big ones.
Gotcha. Are you finding leaders, like either for startups or in established companies, are more open to this conversation about the regenerative way of approaching things?
It's a good question. I think it depends. You know, I've been working with those who are really you know, who are already sold, actually. And so, you know, I've yet to have the opportunity to work with those who have not yet been sold. However, I have been asked to contribute to an educational course for a major major educational institution in a country in Africa, which is quite exciting to be able to at least, you know, take some of the other things that I've learned in that experience and to you know, to be of support in that way.
Gotcha. Beautiful. Okay. I could talk to you all day long, but we have to take our next break. And so when we come back to conclude the show, I'd be curious about if there are any particular projects you're working on right now that you'd like to talk about that kind of lean into this, and maybe talk about like how your spiritual practice is really informing the way you show up today and in like the types of projects you help to get funding for and the types of things that you put your energy towards. How does your spiritual practice inform that? Okay.
Sounds good.
Cool. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Jay Matthias Bennett, author of the upcoming book, Leading with Courageous Vulnerability. And we'll be right back to tie it all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Matthias, your work right now is really helping founders, people who are creating startups, as well as people who fund startups, to kind of be that matchmaker and kind of put them together. I'm curious, what kinds of startups are you seeing, are you working with? And if you can't disclose exactly what they're doing, I understand, but to give us sort of a flavor of, like, what kinds of things are you seeing that really has you excited, that has you feel like, oh, these guys really get it and they're going in a beautiful direction?
Well, that's a really great question. And I could go on all day about the different initiatives and companies in various. So I'd say One actually is from India, and they have a product called Busri, and it is basically a soil tester, mm-hmm. and it is a manure maker. So you can basically take input of any type of vegetative material, wet or dry, and it creates two tons of what they're calling manure. Technically it is manure, it's pellets, that is essentially soil remediation, and that it's specifically calibrated using micronutrients that is for whatever that soil needs right there. So they can create 2 tons per hour, and it's a mobile unit. And also the philosophy is on, because it's technology in service to the planet, as opposed to, hey, let's go and try and tinker with things that we shouldn't. And then you create all sorts of problems that you have to try and fix later.
right. I see Harris again on the LinkedIn Live says, I like this his concept of regenerative leadership. If this could be applied to the sustainability movement, you would have, in my opinion, a winning foundation for an emerging business graduate program. We'd love to know.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And also, I would say it's, I don't think it's, I don't know if, I don't think it's my concept. There's plenty of amazing people out there. I mean, certainly like Tyler Yunkaporta and Bayo from Nigeria, and Chloe Valdari for example, the theory of enchantment, which is that's more having to do with, like, you know, connecting people in race relations. There's there's many people, especially, you know, all across doing amazing work. So my interest is being a support that I can, and using any privilege that I might have to lift all boats. However, that said, I it's interesting you mentioned that. I am in conversation with someone who is in the beginning stages of an environmental program. I think that it also is connected with business as well. So if any of my work can be in service to that, I'm happy to.
You know, I spoke with an entrepreneur who was being very mindful about like his impact and what he was doing. And he came up with like this power product for like a phone. And when in chatting with him, he said that it was really difficult for him to not just get funding, but just to survive as a business, because by being more mindful and more careful of toxicity and waste and all that stuff, his expenses were much higher than his competitors. So he couldn't put out a product at a competitive price against what they're doing. So he had to put it out at a more expensive price, as sort of a luxury good.
Yep.
And to appeal to people that, well, it's because of, you know, all natural materials or this or that. And,
yep.
You know, it seems like there are a lot of barriers in place for companies that want to do things more regenerative and sustainably, because the society is so built around this extractive process. How do we overcome that? How do we get past that hurdle of being both profitable and regenerative and mindful and in alignment with these principles?
I mean, that's another big question.
I only
and
asked.
It's a huge one. I would say what comes to mind is, and it is a challenge, because you have the business externalities of someone that's only going after pure profit, and they're not being limited by those things that you're limiting yourself with. If you want to be conscious and understand everything through the supply chain and where things are coming from, and that all the workers are having a fair living wage, and so on and so forth, I think then though the opportunity is as you mentioned, for differentiation, is to really clearly differentiate what you are doing and why you are doing it, and that, you know, there are those people who do want to prioritize putting their dollars that they spend that are in alignment with their values. I mean, for example, I mean, the LOHAS movement, which is now growing more and more and more, it's getting bigger, and I would say it is getting easier to do that, even though there are still systemic challenges to that, some of which are getting easier. For example, like using the blockchain as a technology for tracking the supply chain and things. And for example, I mean, one company I know from Ireland, Gaia.ie, actually has a way where, let's say you have a concert ticket, you pay an extra dollar, and actually you can scan the barcode, and you can essentially, that would take you to the square meter of forest that has helped regenerate, and you can actually see that grow over time. You know, so wow. With technology, you're able to have more granular tracking, I would say, in a good and constructive way, that can track the good that is being done.
It sounds like, you know, a lot of the things that you mentioned are things happening in other countries, not in the United States. And I think sometimes when you live here in the United States, you get so United States focused and you think it's the whole world, and it's not. And there's actually a lot going on outside of this country that's very exciting and very fascinating. Do you see like a real global movement, or is it really just isolated to a few places?
Oh, I would say absolutely global, and I think it's good, and it makes sense. Just like, for example, that we, from a regulatory and a business environment, in a number of ways, you know, there are, and I don't even let's say, countries in the global south, because the idea of developing countries or, those labels are even, inherently Western centric, they've needed to create these different technologies, and sometimes they have less limitation to be able to bring them to market.
Right. So just a last question, and it's kind of what I alluded to before the break. With what you're doing, how does your spiritual practice or how does your spiritual belief inform what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? How is it, like, is it giving you a foundation? Is it giving you perspective? Like, what is it doing that's supporting, what you're trying to do in the world?
I would say it's, it's fundamental to that. In a certain way, like it's all a conversation, whether I'm having a conversation with people or with, my spiritual guide, there's constant feedback loops. One of the things that helped me grounded is basically now at least yoga every day. It may not be, depending on the amount of time that I might have, but yoga every day. Also I'm excited to start, and continue this, performance neuroscience, coaching certification, essentially, as I mentioned before, like helping myself and then helping others to and visionaries to get into flow states.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So Matthias, it's been a pleasure having you come on the show. When will your book Leading with Courageous Vulnerability, when will it be coming out?
I'll be coming out by, this year.
Okay, by the end of this year. All right, great. And it will be on Amazon and all the major booksellers?
I'll make sure that it's there and all the major booksellers. Yep.
All right, great. If people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, where would they go online to find you? How would they get in touch with you?
Sure. So I'm basically available on all the socials. If you look up J. Matthias Bennett, also you can find me on my website at matthias.co.
All right. Beautiful. Matthias, thank you so much for coming on the show, taking time out of your busy day to be here, getting up early. I know in Hawaii it's been real early out there. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Sam.
All right. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, especially people like Harris who are posting comments throughout the show. Thank you so much for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, immediately following my show is Dr. Richard Lewis Miller with his show, Mind, Body, Health, and Politics. And followed later today with Frank Harrison's show, Frank About Health. And oh, did I mention? I might not have. But one of our honored alumni is coming back to talk radio. Elizabeth Tripp is returning with her show Nourish Your Soul on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. right after the Happy Spot. So please make sure you tune in Tuesdays at 7 p.m. starting next week, starting July 30th. And we'll have more new shows coming on board soon. So thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.